Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and everyone this morning. There's Tina and Ron. Boy, I was wondering where you were. I was hoping you weren't sick, and bless you. We have several people that are out absent from sick, so welcome to each and everyone. Wasn't it a sunshiny morning? And boy, the sun came up and just came in our sitting room windows so bright and so forth. I said, praise the Lord. It's a great day. So welcome to each and everyone this morning. Good to see you. As we come to the worship service this morning, I want to just share for a few verses from Psalms 105. It reads like this. Give thanks, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory you in the holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. How good God is to us. Let us praise him for it.
For him of worship, for music, number 311, sing the first, fourth verse, and Benny will have the prayer. Let's all stand. This world isn't my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then what world will I do? Angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. The slapping glory land will live eternally. Saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drip back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world.
Dear God, our gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to be able to be here this morning. You granted us another day of life and another joy, Heavenly Father, to come together as a church family, dear God, and just honor you. And so we're thankful, Heavenly Father, for each one present this morning. We thank you for the provisions of this past week and helping us through the difficulties that we faced with, Heavenly Father. Help us to always be so grateful, Heavenly Father, for the wonderful things that you give to us from your loving hand. So Heavenly Father, this morning we pray for each one that's gathered here this morning that you will, through the songs and through the message, through the prayers, Heavenly Father, that you will encourage each and every one, that you will strengthen our walk with Christ, that you will help us, Heavenly Father, to face this week in a great way, that we will be victorious over those things that Satan brings our way. He is very well at work, and we know it, but you are mightier than any Satan can be. And so we just look to you, Heavenly Father, for safety and help throughout this coming week for our people. So now, Heavenly Father, bless us and help us, and help us, Heavenly Father, in our words and whatever we do here to bring honor to you, to in some way to just say thank you, Almighty God, for being our God and sending your Son as a Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
And for communion hymn, we'll use number 353, first and third verse.
Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, 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 burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Troubled soul of Savior with sea,
Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near.
As we get around the Lord's table this morning, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for the opportunity you've granted us together in your house on the Lord's day. As we come around the table, we thank you now for the loaf and the cup. Represents the broken and bruised body of the one who died on Calvary's cross. Through him we could have a life and have it everlasting. Now go with us through the further exercise of service. Guard, guide, and direct us. Save us in the ends. Our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, once again, we're thankful for the way of this Lord's day to be back in the house. And as we bring back a portion of the message, we bless both the gift and the giver. We pray to be used for the betterment of thy kingdom. We ask that you be with us through the rest of the service this morning. Be with any who brings the morning's message. Forgive us when we fail there. These words we ask in thy name.
Once again, it's so good to see you in the Lord's house, and so good to see that you have a bright contentance and a smiling face. Tells me God has been good to you this week. We're so glad that you're here. Share this little thing with you, that kind of this being Thanksgiving. And this minister of the church was giving a Thanksgiving service. And kind of a raggedy man, he was in the audience, and he stood up and said, "What is there to be thankful for?" And surprised, the minister said, "Well, what's your name, sir?" "Cause," the man replied. Well, preacher said, "Well, cause, you could be thankful for your healthy body." "Oh," he said, "I'm blind and I have lung cancer," said cause. Preacher said, "Well, you should be thankful for your family." "I don't have any family," cause says. Preacher said, "Well, then you ought to be thankful for your home." "Don't have a home," cause says. Preacher scratched his head and thought for a minute. He said, "Well, I guess you're just a lost cause." But I look out here this morning and I don't see a person that is a lost cause. And hey, because we have a great God that really loves you, you're not a lost cause. Not a lost cause. Well, it's good to see have our piano player back this morning with us. And we're just thankful we missed you so much. And we pray that you'll be strong and healthy the rest of your days, you know. Yes. All right. No Bible study tonight because we have over half of our people are out ill. And we got to pray them out of that. And maybe we ought to just have, the rest of us ought to just have a prayer meeting and pray them out of that. So no Bible study tonight. But for those that are here, the chapter 7 questions are back there in the little thing on the shelf back there. And so get you one of those and take your family, those, one apiece. Yeah, be good to them today. All right, what else? Okay, no Bible study. And also, of course, we know that this is Thanksgiving week, and this Thursday, people of the nation over will be hopefully giving thanks to Almighty God for his goodness. And I know you people thank him day by day. But there's just some people that never think about it except on Thanksgiving Day, and then their thought is jotted back a little bit to that. So it's going to be a great week. A lot of things happening and a lot of people traveling back and forth. Let's see. Okay, this is the right one. Yeah, I've got to get my things back in order here. And bear with me, if you will, please. In our prayer list, we have a number of people. I want to share with you some of these that I have some feedback on. Wayne Gorham is home. That's the neighbor back over here on the other side of Doodle and Pauline and them. And then we have also Michelle Lee is on our list, and she got to come home the first of the week. And so we pray that things will go well for them. We have, from our own place here, we have Michael and Angela and Robert. They have colds, have had a cold all week, and he texted me yesterday and said they wouldn't be here because they thought they might be contagious. So, you know, we appreciate that, but we want people to be here as often as we can, but we appreciate people that thinks that they might pass something on to be cautious of that. We don't want anyone to else to be sick. Let's see who else we had on here. Da-da-da-da. Angela Harvey, the family of Angela Harvey, who died this week. And we've had, in the recent weeks, we've had several people on our prayer list that has passed away and so forth. But we know that God is a God of comfort, so remember them in your prayers here. And then also we have Betty Mulberry, who is a, Betty is a niece to Norma Jean and has breast cancer. And so we want to be much in prayer for that person that we know and we've heard. I say we know, we hear and have seen people experience those things, and it's not a pleasant thing to have. Johnny Jacobs, who is a member or of the, associated with the Georgetown Fire Department, had a double lung transplant this week. So let's pray that that will work out. That is quite an operation, and sometimes there's quite rejection. And so let's pray with him and his family that those will work out and he'll just heal up and everything will be good there for them. And I have on my notes here Shirley Hawkinsmith, Betty Keetering, and hope that they are doing better. Somebody else we had here on my list. So the rest of our people that I don't mention their name, but be very aware of them. And Pat McFarland, we mentioned last week, was going to have the back operation. And so they called Monday afternoon and said that she had the operation and went well and got back home even Monday. And so we haven't talked to him last few days, but we trust that that's going well. Who else here that we have? A great number of people on our prayer list yet, and so we'll be mindful of them. Pray for those who are absent from us, and pray for the people of our congregation. Pray for this great nation. And just really do pray that that along with you that are so thankful for what God does, pray that people will recognize and somehow or another that they would become mindful because of this dedicated day that we have this week, that many, many people across the nation will become mindful of the need to honor and give thanks to the one who gives all good and perfect gifts, our God and our Father. Pray for the healing of all these people. How wonderful it is to know that Jesus can reach out and touch even from heaven. Jesus can speak, and he did that several times as he walked upon this earth. He just spoke, and the family, when they got back home, that person was well. So your prayers stretched out to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, sending his healing touch can touch people here. And also, I meant to ask Tina, didn't get to, your father, is he doing okay? Your dad was in the hospital there, Richard Ukirk. I can't pronounce his last name right. But anyhow, it's Tina's dad there, that Unkrut. That's her dad. He was in the hospital and kind of real bad, but he's doing pretty good now. Praise the Lord. See? Prayers really helped, doesn't it? And God is so good. And isn't it wonderful to see where God touches people and touches their lives and strengthens them and helps them out? We're going to have health issues. We live in a contaminated world, and we're going to experience some of those things. And says so, take and pray for them. Maxine was the doctor today. Yeah, she's before the best doctor today. She went to the doctor and got her yearly wellness thing, and and so forth. And so she got a different doctor than what she's been having. And so she was really pleased with her. And she got a right good report. Things are going pretty good. And so we're so glad for that. So God is good, and God is helping us. And so God's blessing upon our nation. Oh, God, help us and bless our nation. Bless our nation. Help people to really realize how good you really are. Those people in the care home and care for them. I've said it time after time, and always say it, and I always will say it, I'm sure of that. Because during holiday seasons and Thanksgiving, Christmas times, and those times like that, and even times like today, there's people in the care homes, nursing homes, can't care for themselves, that once we're in a place, congregation like you folks are here, now they think about that, they know what's going on here, they just long to be here, but they can't be here. Be in prayer for them. May the Holy Spirit comfort them with the fact that there's people praising him for them and so forth. So much to be thankful for, and let us join together as we go to God in prayer.
For a prayer hymn this morning, we're using number 92, first and last verse. Virgil will have a prayer. This all says.
I got all these things.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls thee from a world of care, and bids me and my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. It seems of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour. Invitation hymn be number 345.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears stood in the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the save me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. There be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. For when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day.
Thank you, Kathleen and choir, and yeah, she makes up a choir now, and Virginia for your special this morning. Thank you so very much. Love that hymn. Thank you. Great message in that hymn. I had a little thing that I copied off and I wanted to share with you this morning, but my office is in such a orderly fashion that I just couldn't find it. But anyhow, I'll try to share it with you. In 1934, there was a, this doesn't have anything to do with the sermon, there was a drought, and things were not going real good. A lot of things happening in the world like they are now. And lo and behold, the atheist group, they wrote to the president, and they said, we think that you ought to dismiss Thanksgiving this year. And the infidels used, you know, because of the hardship that people's going through, because all the non-godly activity, I guess we would say, and said, who could serve a God that would allow that to happen? But friends, we're living in a world just as bad or worse than that. And we're serving the same God. And I would stand up and tell those atheists to go back home. Because we're going to serve God. Regardless of what the conditions is, America and America's people has a duty to stand up and thank God on Thanksgiving Day that has been appointed for us. And every day of our lives, as far as that goes. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 17. We'll get there sometime between now and 1 o'clock. But just be patient with it. So glad that you're back with us this morning. You know, we miss you so much. You know, I like to tell a little corny joke once in a while, but you're the only one who'll laugh at it. And, so I got one for you this morning. You know, what did one turkey say to the other when they saw the pilgrim? They're nice, good-looking people. They probably will have us for dinner. Corn? Okay, all right. Let's do better than that, Benny. Let's get in the Word of God. Isn't God so good? I mean, God deserves every ounce of our strength to give worship to Him, to praise Him, and so forth. So this month we've been talking about Thanksgiving. Not the Thanksgiving, you know, where you gorge yourself on turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes and gravy and cranberry sauce, topped off with pumpkin, pecan, and crucial pies. No, we're talking about thanking God who gives us all those wonderful things that we can have on that Thanksgiving day. So we're thanking about Thanksgiving, the thanks that we're giving to the Lord God for all the good things that He provides for us. He gives us a protective and providing care. That's the kind of God He is. If you remember, I believe it was in 1789 in George Washington, he made a public proclamation that all nations had the duty to acknowledge Almighty God and to obey His will and to be grateful for His blessings and humbly, earnestly seek His provisions and His protection and His favor. And my, how we need that today. On November then, the 26th of that year, George Washington then proclaimed that day to be Thanksgiving Day. And as you know, America has now held that tradition, and I hope it always will. I would hope that everybody would look at every day as a day of Thanksgiving, but I do hope that we will always, as a nation, have at least this one time a year that the thought has come to the minds of the American people that we need to pause and give thanks to Almighty God. That's our duty for His goodness. Thanksgiving Day is kind of a distinct day, holiday. We don't celebrate anybody's birthday. It's not the celebration of the end of any war. It's just a day to express thanksgiving to God, isn't it? Just a day to express thanksgiving to God. Listen, folks, if we were a little more thankful. Now, I hope last week you caught the compliment I gave to you, you know. I try to compliment you every once in a while out of my sermon, you know. But if you remember, I said, talking about thankful, I said, I really believe that we have a congregation of thankful people. And I really do believe that. I think that everybody here this morning, I look into your side, I believe that you are a thankful person. But even on top of that, if we could muster up a little more thankfulness, you know, today, I've moved one item on my thankful list. As I was telling Doodle this morning, you know, and some of you people were without electricity for a while last week, and Thursday we were out 13 hours. Never been that way. How many?
12.
Okay, 12 hours. Boy, she's got it right down there, 12 hours. Okay, thank you, dear. We were without electricity for 12 hours. And your electricity has just been in one of my prayers that, you know, in my prayer that in my generalities. But boy, I moved that out of generality Friday morning. And I'm going to be more grateful for that. But what I'm saying, if we could just be a little more grateful, we could understand a little more how great God is and how good God is for us, to us. And if we could be a little more thankful and realize how good God is to us, we'd get more excited about who He is. And you know, the scripture says God wants His people to feel good and be joyful and so forth. And the more you give thanks and the more you see His goodness, the more excited you are about Him, aren't you? And how he does for us. Yes. Let me ask you a question. What if you had to go back? What if you had to had to catch up on your Thanksgiving before you could do any more asking? What if it was a rule that you had to get caught up on your asking before you could ask for anything more? Could you do that? Could you remember last year the things you give thanks for and the things you didn't give thanks for? How about last month? Last week? But if you really had to do that, could you remember the things that you didn't give thanks for and the things you did thanks for day before yesterday? The psalmist says, and I read to begin with, Psalms 105 and 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto God. Give thanks unto God. Call upon His name and make known His deeds among His people." I believe when David was writing that, he was meditating on what God had done, how good God had been to his forefathers and so forth, and to him. And he was calling upon his people and upon himself to give thanks and to let the people know of the deeds that God has done for us. You know, it's one thing to give thanks, and it's another thing to let people know. And I don't say this in a boastful way, but we ought to do it. We ought to let people know the good deeds that God does for His people. I tell people every once in a while, I run across somebody that I have the opportunity and the joy of sharing with something about our congregation that's happened, you know. And I said, you know, in the back of mine, I want people to know how good God is working with our family here. The good deeds that He does for our people here. So not only be thankful, but let the people know about what God is doing. If the world, if America could realize that this Thursday, if they could just pause and realize what God has done for America, what He is doing for America, what He's going to do for America, there would be a different tone. We ought to be as thankful as we could be, and we ought to make it known how good God is to me, and to you, and to us. I probably should have looked for a different title, but I come up with this. I just want us to look at this man who really gave thanks, and I want us to understand this man a little bit that gave thanks for something that he thought he would never receive or never experience. In fact, this man, he gave thanks to the one who bestowed it upon him. In fact, this man, after he was blessed, he could not do anything else except to go back and thank the benefactor. And you know something else? This man even broke a law of the land to get back to thank the benefactor. Now, I'm not an advocate for breaking the laws of the land. And Ron, you ought to watch your speeding. No, I'm not an advocate for breaking the laws of the land. But if there came a time that the law of the land stood between me and giving thanks to my God and my Savior, I'd have to give thanks. But this man did that. I'll share that with you in a little bit. He disobeyed the law of the land to give thanks to the benefactor. We find recorded here in the chapter 17, verse 11, beginning with here, "And it came to pass." You know, I'm so glad that I read so many times in the Bible, "and it come to pass." And it come to pass. You know, things just don't come to stay. You know, I didn't come to stay here in Kentucky. I love Kentucky. And the preacher that was here a while back, and we was talking, and he was from Indiana, and I said, "Yeah, man, that's a good place to be from." He didn't get it, and you probably didn't either. Yeah, it's a good place to be from. I'm glad to be in Kentucky. But I didn't come here to stay, you know, just here for a while. Just here for a while. And so, and it came to pass, as he went, speaking of Jesus now, if we went back to the 9th chapter of the book of Luke, and about 50th verse, well, you could pick up there that Jesus had got his disciples, and they now had set face to go to Jerusalem. It says that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. So they're on the last trip. They're actually on the last leg of their trip here in Luke 17 to get into Jerusalem before Jesus is crucified. And it says it come to pass, as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now they took a shortcut. The Jews always kind of went around a bypass, you know. The Samaritan territory, somehow or another, the Jews had made a bypass a long way around. But they didn't want to go through Samaritan land. They didn't want to do them Samaritans, them half-breeds. And so, but it says here that they passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. They were down in the south edge of Galilee, in the north side of Samaria. And I understand that that is a place where that is a great racial group. I mean, it was made up of racial groups there in that area that they were going through. And they were making their way toward Jerusalem. As I said, this is on the last leg of his journey to before the cross. And they entered into, it says here, and they entered into a certain village. And so this certain village on the edge here of right on the edge of Galilee and in the Samaritan territory, this village that they entered into. And it says there that they met him 10 men that were lepers who stood afar off. And so we've talked about the lepers before, and you've studied about the lepers. You know somewhat about the lepers. And they met these 10 lepers here. And the Bible teaches us that anybody that was diagnosed with leprosy, that's a terrible thing. Leprosy was a terrible thing. It just, the skin on your body would just boil up in festers and run sores and so forth. And it would eat away your flesh and so forth until you die. And if you were diagnosed as a leper, you were put out. You were put out of home. You were put out of the city. You were put out into the country, so to speak, out into to a lesser traveled place, out by the path that went around. And you couldn't have any communication, really. You couldn't have any dealings with anybody else. In fact, if anybody come near to you, you had a heart, unclean, unclean. Because the Jews believed if you touched a leopard person, it was just like touching a dead person. You would then be unclean, and you then would be unclean until you went to the priest and give sacrifices and so forth and be pronounced clean. A terrible situation to be in, a terrible disease, because this disease would just eat away at your body until you die. So when we think about these 10 lepers here, we want to get in our minds the fact that they're out there and they don't have any hope. The only thing that they're facing and that they think is going to happen is death. They're going to die. And they're shut off from everything else. In fact, the scriptures teach us, and it was demanded that they be put away. Back in the book of Leviticus chapter 13 and so forth, you can find treatment of that. And said the lepers lifted up their voice here. They lifted up their voice. They cried out loudly like. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master. Now, they knew something about Jesus. I don't know really what they knew about Jesus, but they knew something about Jesus. They called him Master. We know that Nicodemus called him Master Teacher. And where they had come to know Jesus, I don't know. Could it be from what Matthew 8 were that Jesus came and the leper came crying and said, have mercy on me, and Jesus just reached out and touched him and he was cleansed? I don't know. Did they hear maybe the time that Jesus was coming through and they stopped and he had a meal with Simon the leper? Maybe they heard about that. I don't know. They knew something about Jesus. Now, were they expecting to be healed? I don't know. I know this, they were expecting something. They knew that Jesus was a man of compassion. And they knew that he would do something for them. Maybe give them a box to sleep in. I don't know. Maybe to give them some food. I don't know. But you know, that's the way they were. They were out there homeless. And you can think about some of the homeless people today, you know, but there they were. They were out there cast out, away from family, away from society. They were homeless. These 10, most of the time you read and you see a leper, he's by himself. And then we read here there's 10. And so we read that sometimes they would be in little colonies. Maybe they would make their home then in a cave. I don't know. But most of them maybe would be singled out by themselves, and they'd just make their own, they would live under the bushes along the, not close to the trail. As it says here, Jesus came along and these 10 men were there. They cried out. They spoke loud, and that tells us they were a little distance. I read in some place it said you never could come within 6 feet, but I think maybe that ought to, I want to go back to the book of Leviticus and read that over and so forth and see if it does have something back there. But you were not to come into contact. So they were at some distance. So I'm thinking maybe longer than 6 feet. But anyhow, it says they cried out. So they cried out in a loud voice. They had to make known. And they knew who Jesus was. And they were expecting something from him. Maybe they were expecting that he would give them a crust of bread. I don't know whether they knew something about Jesus feeding 5,000 or not. Maybe they were thinking that he would give them some clothing, some food of some kind, something that would ease a little pain, something that would be a little bit of convenience to him. Maybe he was going to give them a cardboard box to sleep in. I don't know what they was expecting. I don't really believe they was expecting to be healed. Because I believe that they believed that they were out there to die. And the only two people that I know that I read about in the Old Testament that were cured from leprosy was Miriam, Moses' sister. And she had cancer put upon her as a curse, really, because she chived against Moses and God and put cancer on her. For 7 days she was in cancer and Moses prayed and so forth. And she was healed from it. Naaman was the other one. You remember Naaman? The great master sergeant of the army. And the prophet said, go down in the Jordan and dip yourself 7 days. And he said, I'm not going to do that 7 times. That nasty old Jordan. But he finally did. And was healed. Those are the only two people that I know of in Scripture. Except in the New Testament now, we find where Jesus did. In Matthew 8, we find Jesus touching this man. And possibly, I don't know whether he cured Simon or not. I would think probably he did. It says that he went to have dinner with Simon the leper. And I'm quite convinced that Jesus would have compassion on that man, that he went to his house and so forth and enjoyed his hospitality, that he didn't cure him for that. I don't know that. So I don't know, but I really don't think that these lepers were expecting to be healed. And so it says, and they lifted up their voices, cried, Master, have mercy on us. See, he said, have mercy on us. Just do something. We know, Jesus, you're a compassionate man. And so just do something that will ease our pain a little bit, maybe what they're saying here. And in 14, and we get the idea that this is the only exchange. The only exchange of words here between these 10 men and Jesus is exactly what we read in here. I don't read between the lines anything else taking place. They just say, Jesus, have mercy. Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus looked upon them and he just said, go show yourselves to the priest. Now they knew something about the priest because, as I say, there was different things that the Jews figured they were unclean. They become unclean, touch a dead person, and they were unclean. They had to go to the priest then. And the priest then is the only one who had the authority to say that they were clean. And so these 10 lepers had the idea, or they were knowledgeable of that if they were going to be pronounced clean, they'd have to go to see the priest. So the only conversation, have mercy upon us, Master. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show thyself unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went. Now, I don't know how far the 10 lepers got away from Jesus. I read one commentator said maybe out a few feet. I believe they got a little distance. They were out of sight. They'd gotten a couple miles. I don't know. I don't know how far they were away from Jesus. I don't know how close they were to the priest. All I know is what the scripture says. They're walking along. And the only thought they have in their mind is, we got to get to the priest. And all at once, one says, wait, whoa, wait a minute. He looks over, he says, where's your leprosy? Where's your spots? Your skin looks so smooth. And then the scripture says, one. And one of them, well, back up. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. So they noticed they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Glorified God. And he fell down on his face and at the feet of Jesus and giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Oh, he was a Samaritan. He was one of the hated group. He was one that they looked upon as nothing. So I conclude that in this 10 there were some Jews and some Samaritans. I know that most of them probably were Jews. Now, we can't be too hard on the 9. Jesus kind of gives a little chime there, doesn't he? But let's not be too hard on the 9. I don't know what day it is here. Do you know what day that this is that it's taking place? This could have been, we'll say Friday. And if that be so, the 9 knew they had to get, and most of them being Jews, they knew they had to get to the priest and be pronounced clean before the Sabbath, that they could be in the Sabbath. So they might be at a distance where they couldn't travel on a Sabbath day journey, so they went on. So let's give them a little bit of credit. Let's not be too hard on the 9. They were healed. They did obey what Jesus said to do. They went. They were on their way. And the scripture says they were healed. But this one, this Samaritan, looks upon himself and sees that he's healed. And what does it say? And one of them, when they saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet and give thanks. Here. We get the idea here of what's taking place. They took Jesus at his word. And they went, as Jesus said, and they were healed. You know, folks, you may not give God the proper thanks. But you know, if Jesus tells you to do something, you do it, you'll be blessed. Regardless of who, what, where, the 9, they were healed. They were cleansed of their leprosy. What they did after that, I'm not sure. So I give them a little bit of credit. It's possible that they recognized they wanted to be at Jerusalem. They wanted to be in the worship on the Sabbath day, and they didn't have time to go back. And you know, sometimes you ever get caught up on the fact that you got something to do and you just don't have time to thank God. I got to hurry on. If I don't hurry on, I won't get it done. If I don't hurry on, I'll miss the bus. So I can't go back. But this one, the Samaritan said, man, I'm cleansed. And he broke the law. Right there. See, because the law of Moses says that you cannot come in contact with anybody until you have seen a priest and are pronounced clean. He broke the law of the Lamb. Turned around and went back to Jesus. Now, to end this up, I want you to think about this Samaritan man, this thankful man, this man that went out of the way, couldn't do nothing until he got back to thank Jesus for what he had done. Can you imagine the emotions of this man as he fell before the feet of Jesus? Try to feel the emotions of this man when he fell at the feet of Jesus. The man suffered from leprosy. In that day, there was no cure for leprosy. There was no hospice that day. To even, you know, hospice and what it is there, it's just to help you to be comfortable to die. It wasn't that. They were out there alone, in the fields, away from the society, cast out, homeless, with no one to care for them. Oh, they might have lived in a little shelter of some kind, like some of the homeless do here today. And maybe somebody, and that might be why they're out kind of as close to the path as they can be, hoping that somebody would throw them a crust of bread. And, you know, I think maybe possibly the family, you know, could take and take something out to eat for them and set it out there. But they couldn't have any interaction with them, if at all. But think about this man. They lived alone under the bushes, maybe a cardboard box, just a short way from the travel, and they saw people coming and going, and all they're doing is waiting for death. Think about an old man with leprosy. There's an old man struck with leprosy, and he's cast out in the field. No one to care for him, no one to help him. Think about a teenager that attracts leprosy. He's cast out, away from a warm home. Father, mother, brothers, and sisters, he's away from, out there alone. The only thought he has, I'm here to die. Think about this middle-aged man. He's got a family, he's got kids. And he comes down with leprosy. And he's cast out in the field. Can't have any, you know, he only thought he's going to die. He can't have contact with anybody. He will never be able to go back and feel the warm crest of his wife as she kisses him welcome home. He'll never be able to, he'll never be able to bend down and hug his children. Only thing he knows, he's going to die. He's going to die. Separated from everything that God intended for him to have. Isn't that what God wants? God wants you to have family. He wants you to have things. But here they are, a leper, separated from everything that God would have for them. Oh, we got to finish. This story of this lepers is very real. Jesus told it. It's recorded. Luke was no doubt in the crowd. And that is the only way they had to deal with them, is to put them out, cast them out. The story of the 10 lepers, my friend, is very real. But you know the sad thing about this? This story represents sin. The story is true. I believe with all my being there was 10 lepers and Jesus healed them. But this represents sin also. Think about it, if you will. Cry out to Jesus. The sad thing about this story is it is a picture of sin. Sin can get a hold of you. It can eat away your life. It can destroy your being. Sin can cause you to be cast out. Today, cast in to a place where nobody can come and see you. Buckled down to a bed, probably. All kinds of things that can happen. Sin can separate you from your family, from your wife, your husband, your children. Sin will. I just told you about four things sin can do to you. But here, sin will separate you from God the Father, who has all the things that He wants you to enjoy. Sin will separate you from the Heavenly Father. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be separated from the Heavenly Father. He's got so much for us. Even at my age, I see so much that He's got for me. My family. The church family. I don't want to be cast out. I don't want to be out by the side of the path. But you see, friends, today, Jesus is He's entered the village. He's entered the village of Porter. And Jesus will hear your cry. And Jesus will heal you from your sins. He will cure your sin. Jesus will save you. Jesus will unite you with the Heavenly Father. Let every day be a day of thanksgiving to Him who deserves. Whatever you have to do, always give thanks to the benefactor, our holy God.